say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy? Not crazy.
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
His brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to the podcast that doesn't always ban guests from coming back. But when we do, unfortunately, we rarely stick to it. This is Hysteria 51.
We need a fucking bouncer. Or a robot that gives a shit. Or a bouncing robot if we throw him off of a high enough thing. I'm really, all these things are okay in my book.
Pass, that sounds like work.
That sounds about right. Broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, otherwise known as Chicago, my name is John Goforth, and sitting right across from me, staring into his beautiful blue eyes, is none other than Mr. Brent Hand.
John, thank you so much. And I do want to emphasize the beautiful, because I'm a very handsome man, and I'm glad that you brought that up. People don't really get to drink in the entire experience that is Brent when they just get to listen to me. You're a lucky son of a bitch.
I've always felt that way.
I don't know why I'm laughing so hard at that statement.
I'm really trying to go with this whole yes and thing. I'm trying to be a better co-host. Brent, you know, we've had a lot of requests lately to kind of reignite our YouTube channel. Maybe one of these days they'll get a better look at those beautiful blue eyes.
You're right. It's so funny. Everyone goes, I love podcasts and I love watching them on YouTube. I'm like, that's a video, but that's a topic for a different day.
What's old is new again. When we got into podcasts, you know, video podcasts, you could literally watch them in Apple Podcasts. This is like 2015, and everyone's like, yeah, no, that's just a fad. And then now it's like, hey, you know, the best place to listen to a podcast? YouTube.
Yeah. Do you know, my problem is, and this is just a side note, I listen to them when I'm either driving or when I'm working on something inane, you know, going through scheduling, stuff like that. And then I can kind of have it on in the background. So I never watch if there was video. Hell, I'll turn on a YouTube channel and not watch it, just have it on in the background so I can listen to this stuff.
And you just hit on another problem that I think YouTube, I mean, listen, they're making $4 billion a year. They're
doing something
just
right.
Fine.
Yeah.
But one thing that I think they should change, you have to subscribe to YouTube Red in order for the app on your phone to not to continue to play the sound in the background.
Yeah.
And I just think that's a big miss on like impressions they could deliver, because I would use it. For like you just said, open up a channel and listen.
I used to have an app that actually put it on into the background, and they broke it. You know, and there's a couple, and then they made it so you just couldn't do it. And then it did something with like split screen and stuff, and you could do it, and it all went away. And I'm like,
It's like the old mouse jiggler.
So there is a mouse jiggler now. It's back, baby. I always run it when we do, if we do like live shows and stuff, because the last thing I want is it timing out. It just goes black if we're doing like using
You know. I have a question for you. We recently struck up a conversation in Hysteria Nation, and I thought we'd bring it over to the actual show. You brought up He-Man and the kind of the reincarnation of He-Man.
Yeah.
Revelation, is that what it was called?
Kevin
Smith. Uh-huh. And I thought it was great. I recently binged the three seasons of Transformers War for Cybertron, which was a new series that was created for Netflix. It was created to be three seasons. It was, the third season came out this year. It was fan-fucking-tastic.
That's awesome. And I haven't checked it out yet. And that is definitely on my list. Have you watched the new He-Man?
Yeah, I did. I enjoyed it a lot.
I don't think it deserved any of the hate that it got. I thought it did a really good job, and it felt like almost like a continuation in a good way.
I didn't really understand the hate. Like I a lot of times when somebody hates on something, I disagree. Like, no, actually, that thing that you're saying is a negative is a positive to me. Here, I didn't really understand what they were saying.
This is going to be a big swing at some. I think sometimes. And I this isn't for everyone, and so don't get mad at me. But I think sometimes when they take a male-led show and make the female lead the center, like they did for, you know, half of this season, people go like, no, this isn't what I'm used to, and I don't like it. I thought they did a really good job in doing that to fulfill and to move along the story. But that's me.
I agree with you. I agree with you. But I also think too, just the, it's not the thing I was used to. And so like there's probably a contingent of people. I mean, I think you make a good point. There's probably a contingent of people that literally would have preferred another 36 episodes that were looked, sounded, and behaved just like those from the 80s.
Tell me it again, friend. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Otherwise, some people, it's not for me to decide why you don't like something, you know, unless you're like seething with hate or racism or something like we see in a lot of things. You know, you're happy to have your own opinion and mine can be different and that doesn't matter. I just, that's it was true. Weird. The boycott Kevin Smith hate and stuff when I thought he put a lot of heart and soul into this.
I agree. I also like, you know, with these a lot of these cartoon reboots, how they're kind of stylistically making some cool choices, certainly in the He-Man reboot, but then also in the Transformer series I was talking about, it's kind of an amalgam of styles. At parts, it feels like anime. At other parts, it feels like more traditional cartoon. And other parts, it's more like a 3D generated cartoon images. And it's kind of all like a blend or a meld. It kind of almost reminded me of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, how, you know, it was like a mixing of styles. Yep. And I just love how folks are playing with that rather than the kind of traditional route of everything needs to look more and more real, like the Pixar route. You know, like, no, I there's nothing wrong with the cartoon style of the 80s.
Don Bluth, who did Dragon's Lair and stuff, you know, he's been talking about having a new movie coming out or a new cartoon, like his
whole
camp and stuff. I would love to see stuff done, you know, his people doing that. I miss that old style animation, and I think that there's still a place for it.
I completely agree. Now, Brent, I probably just need to go ahead and pull the Band-Aid. I can see someone squirming over here. I was going to, you know, do a big to-do and a big reveal, but...
Yeah. Let's just pull the fucking Band-Aid off. We told everyone, if they listened last week, what's happening.
Pull the drapes back!
Without further ado...
Pecker!
His name is Pecker.
2 weeks in a row. 17 years without him,
but dream is alive.
I swear he's never welcome back on this program.
Well, what happened was I fell asleep last night on a picture of him, and when I woke up, he was just here. I don't know how it happened.
I mean, that's
well,
like,
let's talk about why you had a picture of him in your bed.
You don't?
It's common.
He sneaks into my house at night and hides pictures of himself all over the place. Most of my pictures on my walls, he has photoshopped, which was around now, into...
I will tell you guys, kind of along that lines, I think the greatest compliment I've ever received in my entire life was a former guest, Jan Jessup.
That's one Dan time, Jazzhands
Jessup.
Once actually informed me that he had a dream that he was standing in a bar... The Celtic Crown, which is a Linkin Park bar here in Chicago, and there's a big mirror behind the bar, and he dreamt he was standing there drinking a beer, and he looked in the mirror, and I was in the mirror, but not next to him, and I said to him, from mirror to here, and he turned around, and there I was. And honestly, like, I don't think I could even come up with a cooler thing for me to do than that right there.
That is pretty much the bee's knees.
You could also not be here. That would be pretty cool.
Be
debatable. I gotta tell you, I'm excited for this one. It's a weird one, and it's one that I've been kind of...
I feel like we say it's a weird one about every one of them.
Well, that's,
isn't that kind of the premise?
It's a normal one for us, and it's one of those ones that I've been aware of for a very long time. And just getting down to the brass tacks, John, why don't you tell us, who the hell was one Edgar Casey?
Edgar Casey was born to us in March of...
Robot.
It's reasonable.
Sorry. I think he just needed to get that one out of his system.
I feel like he's a little more feisty with Peck back in the room. I don't know.
Yeah, he feels more free.
Or is it because we're all live again, like in person?
Give it time.
But the us all together?
No, the live part.
Well, you know, I will say, I wasn't going to say this when I first walked in. But I will mention, you know, we all hear the constant jokes that have just become ridiculous now of like, a lot of people over the last year and a half working from home and things like that. And like, oh, you know, it's I just sit around in my boxers on Zoom calls all day. What I found a little bit alarming is walking into Brent with no pants on.
Well,
in person.
We are live again, Brent. You do realize that.
You also know that I don't believe in undergarments or pants.
Well, so. Here we go. You know, we started it last week and let's continue it. You hate pants?
I thought maybe you'd have a reference. Bird with you and I just wanted to give it the full Monty. You know how it goes. All right, John, back to it. Edgar Casey.
Here's the GoFopedia. Edgar Casey, born in March of 1877, March 18th to be exact. He died January 3rd, 1945. Spoiler alert. In case you hoped
the
he
world
was still alive.
Was at war.
Well, I'm devastated.
Yeah. Anyway, so nothing too crazy in those dates. However, he was an American clairvoyant who claimed to channel from his higher self.
John tries to commune with his higher self regularly, I hear.
I think that was a I think he's saying that you dabble in the now non-forbidden lettuce of said devil.
I think he's just calling me a fashionista.
Indeed.
Anyway, Casey's sessions occurred during a trance state when he would fall asleep.
Is what he claimed was clairvoyance was actually just him dreaming?
Well, I mean, if you want to be...
Or just trance music.
If you want to just be an ordinary person about it, sure. But, you know, if you want to get in deeper, listen. His friend Al Lane... His wife and later his secretary, Gladys Davis Turner, would record his words while he was in said sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And record them they did.
Yeah.
Lots and lots of them, as you will learn. During these sessions, Casey would answer questions on stuff all over the place. From
literally all over the place, yeah. Yeah.
To reincarnation, dreams, the afterlife, past life, nutrition. Atlantis, the second coming of Christ, Nocebot, and future events. Yeah. And it goes on from there.
Handy meat sack to have around.
It could be, depending on your batting average with what you're suggesting.
I'll just say, aside from the fact that I personally found myself, enamored with Edgar Casey many, many years ago in my longtime obsession with all things Atlantis.
Mm-hmm.
But what really excited me about being part of this episode is that he is considered by many, by which I mean a couple people, to be the father of holistic medicine.
Father of holistic, father of new age. There's a lot of father of in his bio when you go to.
And if there's anything that I would respect more than anything else, it's being the one that's credited with founding holistic medicine.
So the only experience I have with holistic medicine, I had a family.
Try putting grubs on it. Holistic.
Let me ding this triangle next to your left temple.
I don't think that's going to work because, as you know, I have an aversion to crystals, which I have in my pocket.
You're allergic.
Go on, John.
I'm allergic to crystals, personally. It's a challenge for me.
Except for Crystal Gale, she's majestic.
So when I was younger, I had a family member that would swear that the moment you start to feel like you have a cold or you have a flu, and this is a holistic medicine a remedy that you should take. I'm not going to say this right. I'll try to say it and then I'll spell it for you. Osilococcaneum. Osilococcaneum, OSCILLOCOCCINUM.
So when you said that, I thought, okay, just spell it. Then I got lost further when you spell it.
And it's basically like Tamiflu in the sense that, or you're supposed to use it like Tamiflu, like the moment you have an onset of symptoms, you put it under your tongue and, you know, it goes away. And I can like honestly tell you that every time I got sick and I put it under my tongue, that nothing went away.
Well,
so holistic medicine
right.
Didn't work for me. Maybe I was missing the triangle.
No, what you were missing was belief.
Oh.
That's what you were missing.
Or some Reiki, perhaps.
So yeah, my chakras were unaligned.
Yeah, you didn't have somebody shooting hand signals at you.
The weird thing, though, we're talking about these weird things he's about. He was a self-described devout Christian, Mr. Edgar Casey.
Oh, yeah.
And a Sunday school teacher, and his prophesizing, whatever you want to call it, his claims were a source of trouble for him because channeling was typically criticized by practitioners as faith as being demonic. In fact, everything.
Yeah, folks didn't like that.
In the early 1900s? Good God. Left-handedness was demonic, for God's sake.
Yeah. They would do things like, even to this day, like you talk to a lot of preachers and things like that. And my uncle used to always say this. He's like, I believe that there are things out there. Like, you know, when you say ghosts,
your uncle Doug Wells, I don't know why you're telling us a story.
Yeah, they aren't the ghosts of loved ones. They're all demonic because that's the only thing that's here on this plane that works that way is the devil.
Hmm.
You know, so
I was making a joke before, but I have definitely heard that from the more traditional, Christian.
And he wasn't this wasn't some weird fire and brimstone. That's just what he said, you know.
But that's kind of interesting because, like, that would discount what have found, at least in my background, of like, as much as that does exist, like, I do think that there's also the same belief system of angelic, you know, presence and intervention. That's the positive.
He was saying those things that go bump in the night and you're like, oh, we got a ghost.
But angels won't communicate with you.
Yeah.
It's not their place.
I grew up
around the same people.
Haven't talked to Gabriel before?
He came to my party.
Gabe?
But we didn't talk much.
Guys, there are angels among us sent down to us from somewhere up above. Wait, how's it go? There's a song. I lost it.
I was waiting for it. But
in all seriousness, you from Joe, remembering it.
Joe,
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
What Brent's talking about is like, it was a very prevalent thing. I don't know if it's a certain denomination or what, but it was like, if you can communicate with it, it's fucking bad. Because
God actually is just humans.
Because
if you can communicate with it, it's bad.
That's
I don't
true.
Know if you guys have ever been online.
But seriously, God and Jesus and angels don't directly communicate with you. They send, they send ideas, they send whispers. But like, if you're getting a flat out, like, that's why Ouija boards are so evil. Because if you're getting a flat out directional, here, my name, is your name so-and-so? Yes.
Well, that
has to be a demon.
I can speak from experience, and you two were there and witnessed it in terms of the Ouija board things. They don't work.
Those
pussy demons wouldn't even come when I asked them to.
Our 4 beer 12 each, when we're sitting there, it just turned to us cursing and saying the most filthy things, holding onto a Ouija board.
The demons heckling, screaming.
Heckling the demons. Like, it's like, come on.
You guys are so mean.
That's what it is. I pictured Daryl Strawberry in the Simpsons episode when the kids are
picking
booing him. And then Marge goes, he's a professional athlete. It's fine. And then they show him and he's got the tear running down his face. I pictured demons that night.
The running total for Simpsons references in the last 2 weeks.
That'll be a baker's dozen there, Bob. So Casey, on the other hand, though, stepping out against the thoughts of the church and stuff, he thought, or he believed that, now this is what he said, it was his subconscious mind exploring the dream realm where he
We're all dream warriors, aren't we?
Well, thank you, Fredward. What's
Fredward?
His last name?
The
Kruger, right?
Fredward.
Fredward. I like calling him now.
Fredward. Fredward. He believed that minds were timelessly connected. And that's something that we've seen pop up a lot here on the show and the different things we talked about. Different topics have talked about shared consciousness.
Wait,
astral plane
interrupt
stuff.
Interrupt you right there.
In time.
Oh my God, yes.
That was a jaw drop of it.
It makes it all the more impressive.
So, but real quick, timelessly connected is an important part in what he was saying, because he claimed to be able to predict the future because he could see it, and we're all connected timelessly. Now, see it is one way to say it, too, because he really wasn't aware of what he was saying, he said, which goes into the whole of people taking and writing down his readings. Joe, what did you say?
Well, that's if there's one thing that we've learned in the course of Hysteria 51, right, is being able to see something is the ultimate way to prove something is real, thus the flat earthers.
That's exactly
like,
right.
They see that everything's flat.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously it must be.
Proof? Point set and match.
Yeah. Now, he's not just one to rest on his laurels here. He founded the nonprofit organization, the Association for Research and Enlightenment, to store and facilitate
the ARE.
The ARE, which they it's always just the ARE when they're online, to store and facilitate the study of his channelings, as well as run a hospital with his teachings.
I have a question about guys like this.
I have an answer. Let's see if they match.
Everyone knows guys like these. We're always hanging out with clairvoyants and bounty hunters. Everyone knows the
everyone
type.
Everyone knows the type. So guys like these, that they always make sure they very clearly specify their non-for-profit organization.
Yeah.
How many of them started out thinking, I can make a lot of money off this stuff? And when they fail miserably, they're like, well, it was a not-for-profit. Like, I'm doing good out here.
Yeah, well, we need to turn to the Swerdlow meter. Beep, 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 beep. Yeah, this is bullshit, it says.
Yeah. This is human bullshit.
This is,
no,
beep, 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 beep. This is profit. He's going for profit. I'm sorry. For a nominal fee, Swerdlow will teach you how to do that profiting also. The things he said, though, that, you know, these teachings, they're still available and taught to the chagrin, one might say, of medical doctors today. He was called the sleeping prophet.
Wait, are we calling web pages taught?
Well, that's not true, because he's got they have a center, John, and you can go there and you can even read.
Is it in the back of a comic book? Is it in the back of a comic book?
Brick and mortar, much like Fourth Hand Studio that we're in right now.
That's true.
At any given time, it has several students attending.
We have several students. Why did you not put an S on that? Legal reasons. So, like I said, Sleeping Prophet is what they called him. Religious scholars and thinkers consider him to be, and you talked about this, the true founder and the principal source of most characteristic beliefs of New Age movement and that type of thinking. I don't think I'm telling any tales out of school. Doctors called him dangerous and a fraud. And I say called, they still do.
Well, also one of my all-time favorite terms, a quack.
Yeah.
Which actually, I've never spent the time to go look at what the history of that is. Why are why doctors who are considered incredible considered a quack?
Howard the Duck.
Ah, of course.
Now he always now, just is, answers is that everything that he does know.
Well, have you seen the movie?
John, were you just touching yourself? Howard the Duck. Howard the Duck.
The original Marvel series.
True.
Oh, yeah. That's like the, that's the where I like to think.
I'm sorry. The original MCU.
That's where I like to think that that was the jumping off part. It went Howard the Duck and then Blade.
Period. It took that long for them to recover from Howard the Duck. Although it did star the adorable Leah Thompson.
Leah Thompson.
Yeah. Who then tried to have sex with Corkscrew McFeely or whatever. They have like Corkscrew dicks. Anyway.
I feel like that's a myth.
I don't think so. They're only the only fowl that has penises. Anyway, that has a penis. Okay.
He's doubling
he's
down.
He's just riffing now.
I feel like I'm in a stand-up show. Someone out there is like, everyone knows ducks have corkscrew penises. This is stupid. They're idiots, and I'm not listening to this anymore. And now we get reviewed because of this. See what you did.
I Brent's an ugly pigeon.
I feel like I'm in a bad version of a... Now I just forgot who I was going to say. The shitty comic that we would all make fun of.
Comedian or...
The one who always does like noises. Who's always like...
Oh,
like Carrot Top?
Huh?
Bobcat Goldthwait?
No.
Carrot Top?
More recent.
Rob Schneider?
No.
Was in a couple movies. One with Jessica Simpson. Fucking...
Dane Cook.
Dane Cook. I was going to say... I feel like we're at a bad Dane Cook show.
As opposed to those good Dane Cook shows.
He had a few moments. For a second.
Wow. I'm offended by you saying that, John.
Back on Eddie here.
Fredward.
It's one of those names.
Fredward.
Did you guys feel or had you seen? It's one of those names that I think a lot of people, it rings a bell, but they didn't really have an idea who he was. When I was asking a couple people, because people always ask, what are you getting ready to do? I'd said Edgar Casey, they're like, oh, I don't really know who that is, but I know that name. Yeah. Like, were you familiar with him? I know you were.
Well, I mean, I can tell you it's kind of funny. Like, it I mean, it was so many years ago now that this show started. I don't know if we ever spoke about this when I've been on it, but when I talked to you two and when I got introduced in to be on the show, you like John was mentioning to me the concept you guys had come up with. And I literally, before he even said what the topics were that you guys were thinking about, I just started naming stuff like this. Yeah, and yeah. He goes, oh my God, that's Edgar like, Casey. I'm like reptilians and you're Casey Atlantis. I'm naming all this stuff. And he's like, well, those are like our first episodes. And that was literally how I got the first uninvite. To come be part of the show.
Do you remember how you found out about him? Like the
Edgar
whole,
Casey? Yeah. It was no joke. It was probably around college for me and just reading things about Atlantis because I found the concept of Atlantis fascinating. Yeah. That it's like there it seems credible that there's a thing that existed once that got wrote about and it doesn't exist anymore.
And
but yet there's the mystery part of it.
Right.
And I read about him. Because he was the first one to propagate that Atlantis could have been in the Bahamas, mm-hmm. not just outside of
let
the
us
Mediterranean
not forget
Sea.
That the original Atlantis episode of Hysteria 51 was.
Oh, yeah, when I almost died. Yeah.
Yes.
That's why John and I just fist bumped that.
You just fist bumped my almost death. 11 days in the ICU, and you guys are giggling and touching one another.
That's what we do when you're not around, friends.
I remember learning about Edgar Casey from the Unsolved Mysteries, and literally the reason that it stuck out of my mind to this day was because and we'll talk about all the things he did. They said that he fell asleep on his book and he learned everything in it and memorized it. And that stuck in my mind.
They call that osmosis.
Osmosis. Ooh. Jones. There's a movie for you.
There it is. That was
John,
hit.
Were you familiar or was it just
no,
one of those?
I was familiar in the sense that I'm like, I'd heard the name. Yeah. I wasn't really sure.
Then once you hear about it, though, you go, oh, it was him.
Oh, that guy. Yeah. Probably around college, same as Joe, started to, understand a little bit more about it.
You really start digging into old men and their exploits.
Oh, and their balls. But did I say that out loud?
Holy jeez, I wanted to lick him.
All right, this is now officially the best episode ever. I just have to make sure that's known.
Is that old man of a corkscrew guy?
It's no man, that's a duck, and he's not real.
That's Howard the Duck. And full circle.
Wearing a Caroline in the City t-shirt.
I was about to make a serious point, and I give up on it. I'm done, and I think we should go to break.
Oh, break time, you're right. When we come back and compose ourselves, what did this prophet predict? Can we believe him? And what
big were his balls?
What do skeptics say? That's all coming up on Hysteria 51.
I mean, is it fair during the fade out here that I throw out the prediction that I think he might have a relation to the Kentucky meat shower?
Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation too. So you can, learn how to speak.
And our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, if you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do. And then, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in and you're using it with, you get speech recognition and mm-hmm. it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused. Or really cool. I have to go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and we have both of us have given the seal of approval because we wanted to do this long term, and it's something that it works, you know. And we don't do long term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So, all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now, get now. Started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, your 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off, rosettastone.com/today. Do it today. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big old move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
I like to think that everything touches on the Kentucky Meat Shower in one way or another.
I mean, you know, one of the best follows on Twitter is the Big Lebowski bot, or the Lebowski bot, or something like that. And it's just quotes
amazing
from the Big Lebowski. You, Joseph, you happened to mention one while we were off air.
It happens from time to time.
Yeah.
Nation, believe it or not, listeners, we actually speak. Sometimes when we're off air,
yeah, from time to time,
it's rare.
We don't
but it
just
happens.
Gaze into each other's eyes. Now I don't know what Brent and John do if I'm not on the show.
I'll tell you what we do. No, I won't. John, why don't you tell us about Edgar Casey's early life?
All right. So this dude was, I mentioned, born in Kentucky. He had
all
trouble.
The good ones, including David Flora.
FYI, I did actually go and check the proximity of his birthplace to the Olympia Spring where the Kentucky Meat Shower occurred. Not close enough for me to make any kind of like judgment about it. It's probably like 300 miles apart.
Well,
because
Kentucky
that would have been incredible.
That's 7 generations in Kentucky.
Oh,
terms.
Yeah. I mean, it riding a horse drawn wagon that far is, you know, you're talking about a couple days, a fortnight maybe.
You're right.
What are you, British?
Perhaps.
Yeah. All right. So our boy was born in Kentucky, and as a kid, he had trouble paying attention. They assume he probably had ADHD or something like that, but we don't know for certain.
Yeah.
They didn't exactly diagnose those things back then.
No, they just beat it out of you with a ruler.
Right, or Sunday tried school. To. You damn right, yeah.
And you better not be left-handed while you're not paying attention.
Right. Speaking of rulers, he was a churchgoer, and at the age of 10, he fell in love with the Bible. He read it over and over again as a kid in an attempt to learn everything that it taught.
I read in one of the things that he had said he had read it cover to cover 12 times by the time he was like 10 or 11 years old. Like just, I guess when there's not a ton of shit to do at the time, that passes your time.
Yeah, I mean, what else are you doing other than lighting candles and throwing wood on the fire?
Whittling. Whittle.
Yeah. I guess you could do a little bit of that.
I was growing up.
You could masturbate, I suppose, to pass the time.
That's what I meant by whittling.
It always boggled my mind that they would try to get kids to read like the King James version and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to lose someone's
the begats? No.
If you want to lose someone's attention, and like their way of making it better was the NIV. Yeah. Like what? Are you, I still don't understand anything that's happening.
Swing and a miss.
Yeah, all of the above.
Hey, A for effort.
Like you're eight. I'm eight.
I personally prefer the translation approaches by Robert Alter, but you know that's just me.
And next week on Bible Hour,
that's right.
The differences between.
Here's the thing. I don't know what he just said, so I don't know if I should make fun of it, if I should be deferring to it. I have no idea what to do.
Don't give me that same concession. I don't know what you said.
Because I know everything that you say is bullshit.
Okay, corkscrew. No, he said
Robert Alter is actually one of the leading linguists in biblical translation.
Would you say he's cunning?
You might say that. Yeah. One might say that.
One might.
So, our hero, Edgar, had a vision in May of 1889 while reading the Bible in his hut in the woods, as one is to do. He saw, quote unquote, a woman with wings who told him that his prayers were answered and asked him what he wanted most of all.
That's a hell of a vision right there.
He was frightened, of course, and he said that most of all he wanted to help others, especially sick children. He decided he would like to be a missionary.
I would have picked strippers and booze.
Speaking of which, did anyone find in your research, like, was the woman topless? Because that's all I could think about.
The best oracles always are.
I feel like they should be.
Do you think Lady Liberty was actually topless?
She is in all of my caricature drawings.
Yeah, at least one strap is always down.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I thought. The next night, however, after seeing this.
John, why is the scale a big mini throbber?
The next night after seeing said vision.
They just things, said that it was dirtier when you aren't on the show. Keep going.
Things start to pick up with Ed. Yeah. You see, he was in trouble for not doing well. So his father was grilling him with spelling tests.
As you're one to do, right?
As will happen.
In essence, he was bad at it, so his father beat him.
Said he beat him so hard he fell off the chair, like was hurt. And he's like, Dad, I need a break. Please.
Was his father James Plimpton? The founder of the spelling bee,
right?
When you said, I was thinking of, I don't remember the guy's name. I thought you meant the guy that's like, when you get to heaven, and you're at the pearly gates.
Yeah, when he did the oh my God, with James, we'll go to the tapes.
Yeah, go to the archives. Oh, Will Ferrell does him.
Yeah.
And he was in Arrested Development.
Yeah.
James Lipton.
James Lipton, yeah.
We're close.
The tea magnate. Yeah.
Oh, no, wow. So funny.
Well played.
So Casey said, I just told you guys, his dad literally beat him out of the chair. He said he heard the voice of the lady that appeared to him like the day before, and she told him that if he could sleep a little, then they could help him. Well, you know, they're, I'll be damned, they're going to help him out. So he begged his dad for a rest, and he put his head in the spelling book, and he fell asleep. And when his father came back in, he wakes him up, and he starts asking him the words, and he knew the answers. Not only did he know the answer, it didn't stop there. He could repeat anything in the book, page for page, knew where they were in the book, what page they were on, where on the page. He said it was like he could see visions in his head of what he was supposed to be seeing. And his father thought he'd been fooling before and beat the shit out of him again.
Well,
angels. Yeah. They work in mysterious ways. Anyway, eventually Casey said that he started sleeping in all of his books and absorbing the knowledge. And so he went from this kid who was kind of a terrible student to being an all-star student.
He was a savant.
Yeah.
He was a Rain Man.
Right. So then comes his ability to diagnose.
One quick thought on that whole, he slept on it and knew where everything was. I am the father of a now 4-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
He literally just turned 4 a couple weeks ago. And the kid will read me any book of his
mm-hmm.
that he's a fan of, word for word, cover to or front cover to back cover.
Now, how many of those words are correct?
Everyone.
Because you've read it to him so much? Is that why?
No, that my we're talking about some books that I've read to him twice.
Okay.
Okay. I don't think, and we don't know, I don't think that he's actually figured out how to read just sitting there listening to us and watching, you know, Super Y and, and the shit. I think he's got like almost an eidetic memory.
Yeah.
Like, so he's, yeah, like he's sight reading. Like he's seen, you know, he heard me say the word is break and he sees that kind of framing and he goes break. Okay.
Or is it because every time he hears you say the word break and reads it, that's when he gets hit extra hard afterwards.
That's
well,
true.
I mean, they go hand in hand, don't they? Anyway, the point being that, this story reminds me of that. Like yeah. I'm not saying my kid has a photographic memory. I have no idea. Maybe he's just reading. Maybe it's just happenstance.
We're not even sure if it's your kid.
Also you know, true. So
he didn't just show up.
And
one
obviously,
day.
I'm making a big
deal. Why are you watching that? Say, Dad, I'm here.
Hey, I'm four.
Hey, Dad. Hey, I'm Link. I'm here.
I'm here.
Go get me a bottle. One that's you know you're gonna pop a top off.
Hey, hey, Dad, don't try to give me beer. I'm a kid. I can't drink it.
But go ahead and leave it right there. But my point is, obviously I'm making a bit of a stretcher, but at the same time, that's kind of what that sounds like.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Like, he's like, oh, I knew where all the words were. Like,
except for he was gifted from angels and you're forgetting that part, John. Your son hasn't said that.
That's true.
Yeah. How many topless angels has, your kid seen?
He's only mentioned two.
He likes to keep secrets at such a young age. Hey, everyone's got the secrets.
This human form is confining.
Yeah, that's right. If only they had someone to diagnose your son, because that is what Edgar was good at.
Dad, let's read that human book again. I mean, that book again.
So while at school, this was supposedly true. He was struck on the base of the spine by a ball. And he was hurt very bad. He was eventually put to bed. He was bedridden and he went to sleep. And by God, he says that they spoke to him again with a cure. His family prepared the cure. And as he slept, he told them what he needed to do. Yahtzee. And his dad was like, fuck yeah. But that was a one-off. That was like the first time he gave a cure while asleep. This ability was not demonstrated again for several years because, you know, kids. Then in 1900... Oh, I'm only
kids,
four.
What's the matter with these kids today?
Oh, no.
So in 1900, he's 23, and he lost the ability.
That's Paul Lind, everybody. Yeah, you're right. Paul Lind.
Bye-bye, Birdie, if you're keeping track at home. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, also, Center gosh. Square.
I don't know. The Greeks. Corkscrew.
That's like humor for people older than us. Much less our fucking demographic.
There's like one guy at home was like, I was gonna quit listening, but
now I'm in. Now I'm sold.
I don't know how I found this podcast thing, but I'm glad this is the one I found.
I was listening to the Carson podcast.
What station is this? Is this FM?
Is this Larry King again?
I was listening to the Johnny Carson podcast. And these guys came on.
I tell you what.
I was flipping through the channels.
Color me entertained. So 1900, he's 23 years old, and he's lost the ability to speak, he says. For a year, he went from doctor to doctor, and no one could help him or even diagnose what was going on. They had no idea. They said they couldn't find a reason
because they were quacks.
They couldn't find a reason for his inability to speak other than that he didn't speak. He wrote that he was, you know, he hadn't, his family said they hadn't heard him speak in a year.
I mean, that's kind of the funny thing about not speaking, right? Is like, it's possible it's an affliction, but it's also possible that you're just not talking.
Say something.
I thought I had mono for a year, but I was just really bored.
Finally, they said, oh, man, last ditch effort. We're going to try a hypnotist. And they say that he gets put into this deep, deep sleep. And boom, he starts speaking, but he's not speaking like it's himself. He's speaking like someone is speaking through him.
Hum-om shibab, hum-om shibab, hum-om shibab.
I reach into the belly of a yak and pull out its heart. That's from one of the Police Academy films. Will that bring your dead brother back? No, man, I'm hungry.
Did you see that what's his name was on America's Got Talent?
Michael Winslow.
What's his name in it?
He does all the
Michael Winslow
the noises. No, but what's his name in the character?
Larvell Jones.
Yes,
Monsignor.
Yes,
Doctor Monsignor Larvell Jones, M.D. Every time he's just adding things, Esquire.
Esquire. CRMC.
OBGYN. So he starts talking, like I said, and they're talking through him, and he diagnoses his own issue, and they said it's like someone's feeding him the stuff. He says then, when he wakes up, we're going to correct this. He wakes up, sits up, coughs up some blood, and boom, he's cured. And they do a dramatic reenactment of this on the Unsolved Mysteries that you can watch, and it's interesting. Now... of note, when he was asleep or in this trance, he had these abilities, not when he was awake. Only time that he had this ability was when put into hypnosis or asleep, and he didn't learn. Well, eventually he learned to put himself into the trance-like state to perform readings, as he called them. It's like this hypnosis. He claimed he didn't remember what he said. It all had to be transcribed.
So it turns out Keanu Reeves can do the exact same thing, but only when he's surfing.
Johnny Utah style?
Strange things are afoot. You
better believe it. That's where he discovered it.
So the FBI is going to teach me how to diagnose people through hypnosis? Utah, give me two. That was my favorite line in the whole thing. Busey was that movie to me. Everyone loves everyone else. I just love how crazy Busey
is. The best. He's the best in everything.
Did you guys see the remake?
Didn't watch it. It doesn't have Busey in it.
Yeah.
You know what I did instead when I could have watched it? I watched on YouTube all 10 episodes of the documentary I'm with Busey. If anyone doesn't know about that, shut off this podcast now and go watch it.
You know that $300,000 settlement that he got? Every dime went to that cameo from Busey. Just cameos.
Oh, 100%.
Joe, wake up. It's me. Like, are you calling? No, I'm literally in bed with you, Joe. I've been sleeping for about 4 months.
So he's not called a cameo when you hire him to hang out at your house, Joe.
Well.
Wonder what that would cost.
I actually am 100% going to look into this tomorrow. I bet you guys it's less than when I had my
next week on Hysteria 51, Gary Busey.
I bet you it's less than when I had my assistant look into how much it would cost for me to have a court stenographer follow me for a week, just jotting down everything I randomly said at the office.
It's like,
which by the way was shockingly expensive.
One of my favorite Ryan Reynolds flicks early on, Van Wilder.
So he does this, and like I said, people come a-calling when they find out that he's got this quote-unquote power. Now, his doctor talks about doing these readings for others who have cases that they can't cure. He's like, hey, like, you know, if we got some people that are afflicted like you, not per se with not being able to speak anything, let's see what you could do. And he starts doing them a lot. And he said that the issues with this started after he would diagnose a person. And they go, okay, here's what's going on. You know, Joe here can't, you know, do whatever. He's sick. And then
my dingus is soft.
Yeah. He would tell him how to fix it. Then they go, by the way,
but he just said it had nothing to do with the show.
No. But for real, though.
Just what's happening
right now.
That was just I like to be honest.
Yeah, I didn't want John to be alarmed when his hand went
very,
over there.
Very curly. They'd ask him, though, stocks, horse racing, other sports.
Do you think there was a lot of confusion when he said, buy Amazon?
Yeah, because he was timeless.
He was a little bit ahead of his time.
Yahoo, Google, yeah. Yahoo.
He couldn't think of the fact that they'd all be dead by the time they could buy those. Yeah, snake handling. You
know, right?
Zuckerberg.
Right.
They were scared and they should have been.
Yeah. They thought he was just chanting, but no, it was, yeah. Well, they were all reptilians, so it's fine.
Well, that's a good point.
he finds out that this is happening, and he's like, how dare you exploit me? And he quits. And he, they say, completely abandons it. Enough to where he starts kind of over in life. He gets married, moves to Alabama.
And that is the actual story behind the movie Sweet Home Alabama.
That's right. Mm. They took some liberties in that movie. They I'll did. Tell you that right now.
They did.
Then he founded the Robert Jones Golf Trail.
He starts a job as a photographer, and fate comes a knocking. So he's got a dark room at home, and he has three children, Milton Porter Casey, Edgar Evans Casey, and Hugh Lynn Casey. Hugh Lynn, when he was eight.
That's a huge Lynn.
He accidentally set off some flammable flashlight powder. That's the stuff they use back then, you know, and it would, you know, and it burnt his eyes. And the local doctors were called in. They removed all the powder they could, and they said that he's
probably. That's demons.
Yeah.
He had demons.
Actually, that's when they changed his name to Matt Murdock.
Yeah, that's right. Get him a law degree. I got an idea. Esquire. So his son is going to lose an eye, they said. Probably both of them. At best, he's going to be blind. And he says,
on the positive side, those sunglasses look pretty sharp.
They are cool. 1900, though, they cost about $3, which is more money than anyone had ever seen.
Ever seen. But they were the circle. Those
they're all circles.
Yeah.
Which they wore until the 90s. get this, though. His son says, Daddy, give me a reading. Help me. He goes, okay. So he goes in and he comes up with this crazy scheme. No, that was, he comes up with this idea of the treatment, and they do the treatment. And within 6 weeks, his son is fully recovered. The doctor loses his shit. Oh my God, this happened. And he starts telling people, and they tell two friends, and they tell two friends, and news fucking spreads enough to where like people are coming knocking on this guy. Presidents and dignitaries and I don't know, the biggest people of the time are coming to talk to him.
Is it possible one of those presidents was Eisenhower, and that was actually the birth of the idea of the bird drones?
I like to think that that was a mandatory thing that happened.
I think Casey probably clairvoyanted out the drones.
Say it with me, Casey Clan. Correlation is not causality. Correlation is not causality.
Is that are we talking the Matrix right now?
I mean, come on. 6 weeks later, he was cured. Mm-hmm. Oh, so if we hadn't said all those special words.
Well, the doctor did want to scoop his eyes out. So at least they held that off.
Well, but also, I mean, can we not agree that if that bell wasn't there right now, there would be bears everywhere in here?
That is a bear bell.
Oh, we must agree upon that because it is there.
Because that it's there, and I don't see any bears.
Yep, you're right. You're
right. You must be the only person I know that read the directions on those bells.
It was a shockingly large direction book.
Yeah. Yeah. So this happens. They spread out the information, and 25 he moves to Virginia Beach, Virginia, and he gets to work making this center that we talked about. They catalog and interpret his readings and cures and treatments that come up with.
Was it anything like the Derek Zoolander
for Center for Kids that don't read good and want to do other things good too?
It needs to be at least three times as big.
What is this? A center for ants? So he does this. He gets to work and he starts doing readings again. Full time, at least two a day. And his son, Edgar, said that sometimes as many as 10, and he was exhausted, but he's like, I got to help the people. I got to help the people. So much so that he suffers a stroke in 1945 and dies from it, which he predicted beforehand, leaving the world with 120,000 pages of readings transcribed. And they're all at this center. You can see them. They're in tomes, so to speak. And they still use them to this day. People can go in, and if you want to have this treatment done, I don't know if you know this, the doctor can't stop you.
So I'm not going to say that I wasn't paying attention to the podcast, but I have a question. What, 120,000 pages? Was it literally all recordings?
No, they transcriptions.
They would write.
As he talked.
Yeah. Now, so he had
24/7, 365.
So here's how it works. So he had done pre 1923. They don't have them. They said that they're lost. They didn't transcribe them. After that, he did over 14,000 that were transcribed, and those 14,000 that were transcribed add up to over 120,000 pages because of
how many recordings do we have?
Well, what I always find amusing about the concept of using a page as a unit of measurement is, like, are we to just assume it's 8.5 by 11 inch pages? Like, what if it's like
it
a 4 foot long scroll? Like, and it's like, or what if it's a note card each with six words on it? And it's like, well, 120,000 of those isn't that
also,
much.
Also, what was the font?
There's a lot going on there. I have no idea how large his assistant's handwriting was.
And not to take away from him, but most of them just say inject bleach. So, is that.
Eat Tide Pods. Well, he was ahead of his time.
Planking. What's this going to be all about?
By God, son, I think I found it. That sounds amazing on paper, so to speak. Like, he's doing this.
Wear JNCOs.
He's doing all this
work. He's ahead of his time.
Not so fast.
What?
Mainstream doctors don't tend to agree with his treatments.
What?
Surprise, surprise. Treatments are not all he was spouting out, though. Think about this.
So, lamestream is more like it.
Other abilities that he's been attributed to, we were talking about this, Joe. Astral projection.
Oh, yeah.
Prophesizing. Mediumship. Viewing the Akashic Records or Book of Life, seeing auras, normal stuff that Joe Peck deals with on the regular.
Joe Peck and Charles Xavier.
That's true.
Is basically what that sounds like to me.
So Casey said he became interested in learning more about these subjects after he was informed about the content of his readings, which he had no idea what he was saying because he was in a trance. And that.
Yeah.
That just rings true. Was he a crackpot? That's the big question. Let's get into what the skeptics say. That's right after the break on Hysteria 51.
Well, you didn't ask me.
I'm tired of skeptics. Can't we all just believe what everyone
just
says?
Just be a skeptical skeptic.
All right, guys. So before we went to break, we were talking about doctors and what do actual medical doctors say about this?
Does this look infected?
Outlook not so good, says the magic eight ball.
You're both pretty much right. Yes, it does. And yeah, that's what they say. John, tell us what they say about this. Like, what do the, you were talking about skeptics or the skeptical skeptics.
Skeptical skeptic. What that skeptical, is my
wait, what they say or what he said. Because I'm picturing him saying, "Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
It's me, the one that your parents don't want you around without their supervision."
Inflammable means flammable. What a country.
So in Casey's life, he made over 14,000 diagnoses.
Well, those are the ones that are recorded. You know, he was off gallivanting doing free ones before.
That's a good point.
So
good
prolific.
Point.
Yeah.
That said, they are all available online, at least those 14,000 are, and many were recorded. Most modern physicians say, you're going to be shocked by this, they don't work.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh.
And in some cases can do more harm than good.
Huh. Mm, that's not Hippocratic. Huh.
Medical health experts are critical of Casey's unorthodox treatments, which they regard as quackery, such as his promotion of
it's always there, Howard.
Such as his promotion of pseudoscientific dieting ideas and the use of homeopathic remedies.
John, I'm going to stop you. We've talked about a lot of this stuff. It's time to get in the meat and potatoes, and by that I mean the dessert. Get to the fun stuff. Tell us about Atlantis.
Meat shower.
No,
and
this
potatoes.
Is the most important part.
Yeah,
I could go on
Atlantis and other such nonsense.
I could go on about dieting and homeopathic shit all day, but let's get to Atlantis.
I don't want to get on a tangent here.
I mean, this is that's what got me into him.
Yeah.
Casey,
mine was cocaine and promises of acting work.
Well,
that's how I got into him.
That's also how you got married.
So I'm getting
a look from producer Lisa right now.
Indeed. I'm going to break the mold real quick, and instead of a Simpsons reference, I'm going to make it It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia reference when they're hanging out at the country club and Charlie's in with the jockeys, and he goes, "So what do you say, Charlie? Let old Buster snort some coke off your cock?" Oh, no, it's not off your cock, it's off your boner.
Thanks for the clarification.
Sorry, clairvoyance.
I wasn't able to picture it, but now.
Yeah.
Now it becomes the life.
So Casey was an advocate for for what is called pseudo-historical ideas in his trance readings.
I love that. That is a term I never heard, and I fell in love with it immediately.
It's incredible.
Pseudo-historical.
I think we probably said it on this show, like making fun of something.
Yeah, right.
That's pseudo-historical.
Can you prove that's not true? Can you prove it isn't?
Yes.
Loophole.
So, one of which is the existence of Atlantis.
Yeah, yeah. We're firing on all cylinders right now.
We are. Yeah. He supported the discredited theory of polygenism.
Yeah, that's a rough one.
Now, Brent, tell us about polygenism.
So, those playing along at home, polygenism is this theory of the human origins. They say that the human race is made up of different races and they all come from different origins. So this view is opposite of monogenism, meaning we all came from one place, and that is the accepted. Different races from different origins, and guess what that breeds? Hate. It's like a way to be able to say we are different and not equal.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally following the fucking playbook of white supremacists.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, but I don't know. You guys saw the South Park episode where they did the documentary.
I
about,
knew where that was going to go. He's like,
where's he going with this?
Earth being an international television reality show where, you know, they said, like, what if we were to throw Chinese people, giraffes, Africans, Americans, and tigers on the same planet?
Tune in.
So, all right, I am going to hit a hot button topic here. This is literally the exact opposite of critical race theory.
Right.
Everybody's been talking about critical race theory lately, right? In the news.
Interesting.
Hot take. I am saying that this is bullshit. I will go out on a limb and say that we're not all different.
Okay, just because science and common sense says that.
Well, I don't know. Did the Pleiadians and the reptilians populate Earth with a bunch of experiments or not, guys?
Hold on. Let me go to the David Icke phone.
Yeah, I was going to say. Do we have Cooper on the line? Bill.
No, John, he's dead. And so is Casey, so we can't get to him.
Isn't Marvel putting out a movie about this later this year, The Eternals?
Actually, didn't Casey point to the fact that we could talk to Bill Cooper?
But we can't. We've demonstrated that. We've probably pissed him off by cursing at him.
probably goes back to the Ouija board situation.
At the Congress Hotel. Damn it.
So, I knew that would come back to bite me.
Really quick on this polygenism. According to Casey, five human races, white, black, red, brown, and yellow, had been created separately, but simultaneously on Earth, on different parts of the Earth. And he also accepted the existence of aliens in Atlantis, and he claimed that the red race developed in Atlantis. Its development was very rapid, so it was more technologically advanced than the rest of us.
So wait a second, the red race. So, like, if we're going to go with the words that we use in our modern parlance for various races, is he saying that Native Americans were the folks that lived in Atlantis?
He said a lot of things that I don't think I really love the idea of going too deep into. You know what I mean?
He's like kind of a shithead.
That's why
I brought it up. That was my point.
Right.
Like, it's you get into it deeper and you're like, oh, we're talking race theory. Oh, fuck. Are we going to get close to eugenics in a second?
Eugenics, thank you. Yeah, I was just, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Going along this, like back in 2003, there's this book, The Skeptic's Dictionary. This guy, Robert Todd Carroll, he's a philosopher and a skeptic. And here's a quote from him. Casey is one of the main people responsible for some of the sillier notions of Atlantis. I love that because Atlantis in and of itself is crazy.
It's the pretty sillier version.
Right. And so he says in the book, he says some of Casey's discredited ideas, including his belief in a giant solar crystal activated by the sun and used to harness energy and provide power to Atlantis, and his prediction that in 1958, the United States would rediscover a death ray that had been used on Atlantis.
They did. I stole it.
That may be true. We're gonna.
But wait.
We're gonna parking lot that
C-Bot,
one.
C-Bot, didn't you say that death ray actually came from Tesla?
I say a lot of things, John.
Also, the 1930s, not to be outdone by Nostradamus, Casey incorrectly predicted that North America would experience chaos. Well, he kind of whittled down a little more. He said Los Angeles, San Francisco will be among those that will be destroyed before New York.
In his defense, I changed my mind.
Again, maybe.
Well, I mean, it hasn't happened yet. New York isn't destroyed, so, yeah. You know, he could still be right.
Well, he was off by his dating then. He also incorrectly predicted the second coming of Jesus Christ in 1998.
Mm-hmm. Wait, so you're trying to tell me that Ariel Winter, star of Modern Family, is not the second coming of Christ?
Of stage and screen?
Stage no. and screen.
You know, her brother was in...
Edgar?
Look up her brother. Who's her brother? He was like a child actor too. She like got separated from her parents and everyone was like, good for you. And the brother was like, no, she's going down a bad road. And then next thing you know, she's like half naked everywhere and doing crazy shit.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, her brother was Pugsley Adams in the movies. Opposite oh, really? Wednesday Adams, if no I remember kidding. Right. Yeah.
Jimmy Workman.
Is that his name? Yeah. And that's him, right? From Adams Family.
As a retired American child actor whose roles include Pugsley Adams yeah. in the Whoa. Adams Family.
Yeah, he kind of came Hand. Out. He kind of came out and was like, she's kind of going crazy, guys.
And if anyone ever needs a member of a trivia team,
no,
to crush
wow.
entertainment, the now, entertainment category, Brent Hand is available.
I do want to say this. I think your parents were scumbags, too. I think that's just a twofer on that. Like, everyone was bad on that one. Yeah, another claim by Casey was that soul entities on Earth intermingled with animals to produce, and he called them things such as giants that were as much as 12 feet tall. Now that's an important one because we've talked about that before. Nephilim and these weird animals and the giants.
Sure.
And it has a lot of roots in biblical stories and giantism and stuff like that.
The tall entities. I don't know what they like, there's no description there, but it reminds me of that video that Hysteria Nation member Denny Kish posted the other day in the Nation of it was like meant to be fake. It's not, no one's implying it's real, but it was like if Mars had invaded the Earth during World War
I. Oh, I didn't see that.
Here's what
really?
It would look like. And it's like old, it takes old stocky footage.
And they put them in, I did see it.
And they put like, what I love about it is they also make the machinery of the Martians like hip to that time.
Futuristic, it's 19...
Steampunk?
Teens.
Yeah, very steampunk.
But like, I did see it, right? They're like giant monster, like legs and stuff.
And you can see like the mechanisms turning and
That's funny.
And Joe, we've talked about that before on here with like the giant animal crossbreedings, and that's in the, you know, biblical stuff and the Nephilim. Do you think he was just trying to like keep a little bit of like a biblical pulse on the things he was saying maybe to like, to root it?
I'm not going to go too deep into this because this goes into final thoughts, but a little prelude to what my final thoughts are going to be is I believe it or not, I actually took a couple classes on this in college. There is a lot of theory and thought around the concept of like when you look at things like what is considered biblical prophecy in the Bible and some historic books, mm-hmm. and then you look at that going forward, there's an influence of someone who reads something a whole bunch, and you guys mentioned he read the Bible a whole bunch
as a child. Yeah.
There's an influence of what you recognize and understand from what you read, what you intake, and what you perhaps dream or envision and truly actually try to describe what was seen.
Meaning you
try to do it in terminology that is
it
relational.
It influences or it colors your own thoughts.
You internalize
yes,
it.
But
without
also,
realizing it.
Yes, but also it's look, human beings, the way we communicate with each other is relational. And frankly, it goes back to probably the greatest thing ever on television, the Star Trek Next Generation episode with like Darmok and Janad at Tanagra. Like, it's
16 people just started cheering and 3,000 turned off.
God.
And the walls fell.
But there's reality to that. It's relational.
You have that t-shirt. You have like the band or the
Oh, that's right.
Darmok and Janad at Tanagra 98 or whatever it was. Yeah, 88. Yeah.
He's playing like the little flute. Yeah.
He's playing a Ripper.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Absolutely. He's playing a face-melting guitar solo.
Yes.
But I really do think, you know, there is part of it that's explainable. I'm not trying to like give him credit or anything like that. I'm saying doesn't shock me, Brent, you know, to your point of like, this is how he would describe it, because it's all about learned experience and like, and you're trying to relationalize something.
Right.
Like, it wouldn't be surprising that that's what he would go to.
Well, John, your favorite part. Tell us about the skeptics, the true strong skeptics. Break down what's wrong with this.
Well, they say Casey's alleged psychic abilities were fakery.
I like that it's that you said alleged psychic abilities as though there are very, very provable.
Proven.
He said that because I made him.
I noticed, Brent, that you were really channeling right
Brent
there.
Brent is looking sexy today. Brent is looking sexy today. Brent is looking sexy today.
Yeah, I will take that 20. Thank you.
They say he has zero real ability. Science writers and skeptics have pointed out that the evidence for Casey's alleged clairvoyant powers come from some sensationalized newspaper articles at the time.
Totally go along with what you said, yeah.
Some anecdotes, some testimonials, and even books, rather than any empirical evidence that can be independently evaluated.
Kind of like what he was saying, he would take these things of the time and it would color the things he was saying. The thing I've found, when you look at a lot of this stuff, his son Edgar was a big supporter and told many of the tales of dad's feats. So it's kind of like this secondhand stuff.
Dad, your feet!
So Martin Gardner, for example, wrote that all of the verified claims and descriptions about Casey's trances can be traced to ideas found in the books that Casey had been reading by authors such as Carl Jung, Ouspensky, and Helena Blavatsky. We have talked about her
a lot.
Not to get too into semantics, but I do take a little bit of issue, Brent, with you saying read. He didn't read. He fell asleep on them.
Absorbed via osmosis.
Oops, my bad.
You know how I learned that word? I learned that word really early. I was reading. Do you remember when we were young, probably third grade, those Garfield books?
Sure.
They were long.
There was a comic.
Thank you.
One of those where
real turgid paper.
You know, he fell asleep on you know something he was supposed to be doing, and John came. You know, oh Garfield, what are you doing? I'm learning by osmosis.
Mondays. Eh?
Nice. Contextually, I figured out what it meant, and I had a new vocabulary word.
Now, he figured it out Thursday of this week, but he's kept
I never said when.
Just
said I did.
And how many books did you fall asleep on after you read that, seeing if it would work?
Today?
So getting back to this, Gardner came to the conclusion that trance readings of Casey contain, this is a quote, little bits of information gleaned from here and there in occult literature, spiced with occasional novelties from Casey's unconscious. That's giving him a little more
credit
than I would. But Michael Shermer writes in this book, and this is a good one, Why People Believe Weird Things. You guys should go out and get this one. It's very much worth it. He said, uneducated beyond the ninth grade, Casey acquired his broad knowledge through voracious reading, and from this he wove elaborate tales. He goes on to say Casey was fantasy prone from his youth, often talking with angels and receiving visions of his dead grandfather that he wrote about and talked about a lot. Then talking about how he was a showman, magician James Randi, the Amazing Randi, you know, guys probably know, commented that
the specials are amazing.
Fantastic. Yeah. Another guy. Yeah. Anyway. He said Casey was fond of expressions like, I feel that, and perhaps, using what Randi called qualifying words to avoid positive declarations. And Casey was never subjected to proper testing. That's what ESP pioneer, this guy named Joseph B. Ryan of the Duke University. Now, that's someone who actually believed that this was possible. Shit on Casey. He should have been one probably trying to back him up, a lot of people thought, and he was not impressed. He said a reading that actually Casey gave for Ryan's daughter was, Ryan said, notably inaccurate. And frequently Casey was even wider off the mark, as when he provided diagnosis of subjects that had been dead since the letters were sent. So people asked for help. He sent the help later and they're like, oh yeah, they already died. Let's bring this home. He's not the first or last to do things like this. There's always a grifter or a real clairvoyant out there, whichever you want to look at it. He was one of the more famous ones to do it. Do you guys put stock in this? Is it just pseudoscience, or was he this weird new age practitioner? If he's not real, could others be real, and was he real? I guess that's a twofer question.
Researching Edgar Cayce was interesting to me because I probably had less knowledge than you guys coming into this topic. And all it did was point out to me like how much of a grifter this dude was. The name, like without knowing the stories, the name kind of holds some weight. You're like, ooh, Edgar Cayce.
And the Edgar Cayce Institute.
Yeah, you've heard that and you see that. And that's it's tied to something kind of etheric and a little supernatural. And like, ooh, tell me more. And then like you dig in and you're like, oh, that's race baiting and bullshit. Okay, got it. Whether other people can or can't do anything, like all I learned was this guy is full of shit.
Think about this, though, 100 years ago when you're hearing about this and it blows your mind because someone says, do you hear a guy over in Alabama or in Kentucky can do this and that and the other? And he's a Christian and you go, what? You know, and I think that's how things like this get glommed onto. And
it's like the, you know, do cocaine, it'll get the ghosts out of your blood.
Yeah, I mean, they believed all that shit.
I don't know about getting the ghosts out of your blood. I can tell you it'll help you sell a lot.
the Matthew McConaughey, Wolf of Wall Street.
I was actually thinking more of The Office when Michael Scott says, like, back in the 80s, you know, before we heard cocaine was bad, man, did we move a lot of paper.
Story about that. I just read Matthew McConaughey's memoir, Greenlights.
Oh, I didn't know he had one.
No. By the way, fucking do it if you can.
Hang on, though. Were you able to somehow read it and not hear his voice while you were reading it?
No, I love hearing his voice.
Did you ever find yourself naked?
His voice drives me insane. I can't do it.
Oh. Did you find yourself naked with a djembe just randomly while reading it?
No, but he covers that whole story. It's great.
Oh, interesting.
It's great. Anyway, in the book, he talks about that scene in Wolf of Wall Street. So he was like jazzing himself up before a scene and doing that chant. And Leonardo DiCaprio was like, do that in the fucking scene. And that's how that whole thing way into the scene.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny? I think we're all on the same page with this. You know, we all looked at this as the way it was. I want to bring it home real quick with this. A quote from the science writer, Karen Stolznow. She says, the reality is that his cures were hearsay and his treatments were folk remedies that were useless at best and dangerous at worst. Cayce wasn't able to cure his own cousin or his own son who died as a baby. That's a harsh thing. Many of Cayce's readings took place after the patient had already died. She goes on to trounce him even more. A lot of his stories are told by his son or other people. But you can, if you want to look into this, you can go out and they do have his institute. And I tell you what, if you're dying of something and they can't cure you, is it going to hurt you to do whatever the fuck he says? Probably not. But ask your physician first. And if you really want to look into it,
probably is not the word I want to use.
They've been pretty well vetted to where you can find out. If he says what he says, you can learn pretty fast if it's very, very bad or not. I'm not telling you.
It turns out he says you should drink yellow snow.
Hey, it's sterile.
Joe, did you have any final thoughts on Mr. Cayce? Haven't you ever
been to the Bear Grylls snow cone machine? I don't know.
It's not that different from you guys. It's you got a guy. He figured out how to make a quick buck. The only thing I'll add to the whole conversation that all of this always makes me think of, except for whatever weird reason, in certain areas of topical areas, someone like him, and there are others in various things like him, where they somehow elicit a certain kind of emotional following from certain people. And the one person that was at the same time doing the same stuff who I don't find ever gets that emotional following. If you ever want to read a fun book on what guys like this to me always come back to from this time period, go out and get a copy
of P.T. Barnum's book, The Art of Money Getting.
Oh, yeah.
It is perfectly titled, and he's unabashed about what he does.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of the same stuff. It's taking what's a fad of the moment at a time where...
And milking it.
Yeah, and it was at a time, and Brent, you kind of alluded to this earlier, think back 100 years... It's at a time when information was not as easily disseminated as it is today. Like, these folks operated in a different world than we live in.
My cousin saw it. That holds a lot of weight when, number one, you don't even really know your cousin. But
right.
You know that your mama said he never lied.
That's
you know
exactly what I mean?
It was a different world.
But and these guys knew how to manipulate that world, just like... There are con men and grifters today who, you know, can figure out how to make a buck.
Yeah.
But that book, it's a fun read, mm-hmm. and it's only like 100 pages, which, by the way, talk about the real way to be the art of money getting, charge everybody $10 for a book
for
that's only like
pages.
Less than 100 pages.
Yeah, that was 100 pages then. Today, it's 3,006 pages.
Well, that's exactly
with inflation.
Right.
All right. That's our thoughts. John. If people want to tell us that we're idiots and they got their psoriasis or what did you say, boners cured or whatever the hell he said earlier,
whatever,
where can they tell us?
You need to talk about all of that in Hysteria Nation. You go on Facebook
boners
and you search.
Let old Rusty sniff some coke.
There's a lot of things
boner.
You can search for on Facebook, but I would suggest searching for Hysteria Nation. It's our Facebook discussion group where we talk about some of that and also other things like Bigfoot and
daily pictures from NASA. I just started that one picture of the cosmos. They're fun, man. They're awesome.
Absolutely.
Someone already said, "What kind of shill shit is this?" Posting pictures for NASA on here. I'm like, I gotta get that money, baby. I gotta get that
That's
cheddar.
Exactly right.
Never a straight answer.
Big astronomy.
And we don't just talk about psoriasis. We also talk about eczema.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest.
Gotta be equal.
We're dermatologically equal.
That's right.
Anyway, that is on Facebook.com. Search Hysteria Nation.
That's right. Or Facebook.com/Hysteria51Pod. That's a regular page. Patreon. You can get extra episodes on there. Lots of fun stuff. Voicemail 773-669-7277. Again, 773-669-7277. We have a voicemail only episode coming up soon where we're just going to go through a backlog.
Hopefully a lot of photo voicemails.
Surprisingly, a lot of people have requested that. So we're going to see how that one goes. If you forget any of this, Hysteria51.com. And you can even go there
and
look at photos
of that's
Joseph
a callback. That is. Like back in the day.
There are absolutely no photos of me on there. And frankly, it was an embarrassing moment for me not long ago.
When someone heard
word that I had, been part of recording
on
a podcast.
On there. They gotta go to About.
They literally sent me the screenshot of About them I was in, and I'm
my
not
favorite
on
part
there.
About this is he's talking to his parents and he's like, I've been on a podcast. I swear I'm important.
They don't even know what
I'm important.
Producer Lisa cut his mic. All right, kids. That's been our thoughts on why Joe can't be on our website. With that said, I've been Brent.
I've been Joe.
And I've been John.
And he's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meet sex.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite. Join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.